said one sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, all tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the heart with glory. Yes, all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Hallelujah. I'm glad he came to stay.
Amen.
Didn't come to visit, but he came to stay. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I want to say to you, in 2020, don't fall back. And don't fall in. And don't fall away. It's important that you stay put. I'm glad that God has given you a pastor and answered your prayers. Thankful for he and his family. And I'm excited about what God has done for what he will do. Amen. Just being faithful to the Lord. Well, I remember hearing Dr. Seidler talking about it. He said, I was driving in one Saturday night. And said, I was coming down the freeway. And God said, Harold, I want you to preach on John 3:16 tomorrow. And he said, I argued with the Lord and said, Lord, you know I've already got my message planned for tomorrow. And said, I argued with the Lord a while and said, got on down the road a little further and said, the Lord said, Harold, tomorrow I want you to preach on John 3:16. And he said, Lord, you know, leave that to the novice. He said, I'm an old man. I can't do that. I would have got my message. He said, drove a little bit farther and said, the Holy Ghost said, Harold, said, I want you to preach on John 3:16 tomorrow. And he said, I quit arguing and I just did what God said do. And heaven came down and glory filled our soul. And so sometimes I said to Brother James Jones, I said to him, you know, what God's assigned me tonight is so simple. And it's just what you know already. But it's what God said do.
Amen.
So that's what I plan to do.
Amen.
In the book of Matthew chapter number 6, please. Matthew chapter 6. Yesterday morning, we talked a little bit about quicken thou me. And we need that to be done again. Amen, brother. That's what I need. And so last night, we shared a few thoughts about the matter of Paul's testimony. He said, for to me, to live is Christ. And so I'm interested in the fact of knowing how that happens. How are you going to say, for to me, to live is Christ?
Amen.
And so I want to mention five first things that will enable you to say, for to me, to live is Christ.
Amen.
In the book of Matthew chapter 6, I'll put in verse number 19. The Bible said, lay not up for yourselves treasures in upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He's dealing with our affections. If our affections is right, listen, if we love the Lord, if we're laying up treasures, our affections is right. Then he said, He said, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. You won't be serving two masters if you're saying, for to me to live is Christ. He said, no man can serve two masters, so your allegiance will be right. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory, it was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so I see my ambition will be right if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. He said, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Would you pray with us? Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of the family of God. And I pray for the anointing of God to be upon our lips. Speak to us and through us and accomplish your purpose. May this be profitable time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to say this. It won't matter at the judgment seat of Christ whether Clemson wins or LSU wins. So don't worry about that. We're not worried about that. I will say to you tonight, there's a certain excitement about first things. The first time the baby took a step, the first time they spoke a word, the first time you was called on to pray in public. I remember that time. I don't remember what I prayed, but I remember that time. I was in Wednesday night service, and Dr. Buckton said, he's my pastor, he said, now, Brother Joe, you dismiss us in prayer. And I looked around, didn't see another Joe in the whole building. And I don't know what I prayed, but first time I prayed. First time, I gave my testimony. And that same pastor said to me, he said, Brother Bryant, you know, did you share a word of testimony? I believe you're saved, you ought to have something to testify about, amen? So I shared my testimony. I was glad to do that. Remember the first time I preached? Boy, I had a long message, Brother Bearden. Lasted about 3 minutes. I've improved a little bit, but I remember the text, first text. You remember the first speeding ticket you got? First things. God said there's some things that has to be first place in your life. And so I'm preaching on first things first. First things first. And so it's a matter of recognizing that he said, if you back up with me to the 5th chapter of Matthew chapter 5, and I just have 5 little references, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. In Matthew 5, verse 23, the Bible said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So the Lord said now, first things first, first your brother, then your gift. I want you to understand that you said when he came to the altar, it's not that he said, I remember, I've got all against. No, he said, I was down at the altar and I remembered that a brother had aught against me. Now he didn't say take your gift back. He said leave it there. Leave your gift. First, be reconciled to your brother. Then offer your gift. And so if I'm going to say to me to live is Christ, I first must be reconciled with my brother. I believe in our churches, our fundamental independent temperamental Baptist churches, that we've got too much ought in the hearts of professed believers. And you can still give your altar and have ought in your heart. You can still give your offering, have ought in your heart. You sing the choir, have ought in your heart. You can testify, have ought in your heart. You can preach, have ought in your heart. I'm trying to, this down where the time meets the road, you understand? It's a fact of the basic fundamentals. If we're going to say, for to me to live is Christ, then I must deal with that ought that my brother has against me. Brother Bearden, I remember the time when I was a young Christian. I got saved in 1960. When I was a young Christian, we'd have revivals. We'd have meetings sometime 2 weeks long. But invariably in those meetings, there would be people who would be convicted by the Holy Ghost, and they would get the ought that a brother had against them reconciled. I remember hearing Fred Brown preach years ago at Tennessee Temple Schools, and he made a statement that I've never forgotten. Here's what he said. He said, you ought to suffer yourself to be defrauded before you'd be dishonest. Would you agree? Would you agree tonight that if we were just honest, we could have revival in our heart? But we've got to deal with first things first. But we kind of, you know, some folk have the idea that if they sin against others, all they have to do is claim 1 John 1:9, and God will forgive them. You can't sweep it under the rug.
Amen.
You've got to get real in the matter of dealing with the ought that a brother has against you. Could I say, Brother Pastor, the man that's come to the altar and there remembers that a brother has ought against him, he is the one that takes the initiative. He is the one that makes the first move. He is the one that purposefully said this, I want there to be nothing between my soul and the Savior. First, be reconciled to your brother. And then that's a pretty good first, isn't it? That's first base. That's just where we are. And we've got so accustomed to going to church, singing our songs, putting the offering plate in, and knowing in our heart that a brother hath ought against us.
Amen. Yes,
sir. I want to be able to say, for to me to live is Christ.
Yes.
But I can't honestly say it, Brother Ben, unless I first deal with the ought. I'm saying I want to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God, and I want to emphasize what God emphasized in His Word. And so I first my brother, then my gift. And so here it is. Being reconciled to my brother is more important than my gift.
Amen. Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Everybody all right?
Yes.
I'm saying first my brother, then my gift.
Amen.
You know what happens when you do that? You know what happens when you take the initiative to go to a brother that hath ought against you and that is reconciled? You feel squeaky clean on the inside.
Sure.
And there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the Spirit of God can flow freely through you.
Amen.
So, first things first, we've got to deal with the matter of the altar of the brother. And so here it is. That's the divine order of reconciliation to a brother. And now notice with me, 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 18, let's look at Matthew 18, verse number 21 and verse number 22. The Bible said, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times." And so I thought I'd tell you, if you're counting, you're not forgiving. You said that just 420. No. First your brother, then your gift. First be reconciled with your brother, then your gift. I could tell you of meetings that I've been in where folks have followed that instruction of the Lord, and when they did, it affected the whole congregation and revival broke out.
Amen.
When folks dealt with the awe of a brother. I am reading out of the King James Bible.
Amen.
And so he said, and this is a law of forgiveness. He said you're to be a forgiving Christian. Now, second, note the order of the divine law in verse 15 through verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 18. 15. Verse 15, he said, moreover, are you listening? Moreover, if the brother, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and place it on Facebook. Hello? No, that's the NIV there. He said, notice, let's read the verse carefully. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him. What's that next word? Alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Now, this is the order, the divine law. So I remember that a brother hath ought against me. I leave my gift at the altar. I first go and talk to my brother. It's between he and I. It's not between the church. It's between he and I. And so I go to him personally. I'm not going to tell anybody else. I'm going to him personally. And by the way, you don't tell everybody's brother about what's wrong in somebody else's life that they've offended. No, no, no. You go to him personally and deal with it personally. And if you will not hear, and by the way, there's some that will not hear.
Amen.
He said you'd take one or two more witnesses and you confront them again. And if they will not hear that, then you tell it to the church. And the church deals with him. I believe the Bible teaches church discipline. But that's not the purpose of trying to get rid of a brother. It's the purpose of trying to reconcile a brother. Amen. Y'all with me? We're on the same page. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Then, offer thy gift. We might need to stop giving an invitation now. And if we do business with that, listen, we could say, for the man to live, it's Christ. But you can't do that if a brother hath ought against thee. Let's see again. Y'all still in the building. I see. Notice with me the book of Matthew chapter 6, the text I read tonight. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the familiar verse that everybody knows, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee." I want to be able to say, for to me to live is Christ. But it's first the spiritual, then the temporal. First the spiritual, then the temple. Now, this is a wonderful, wonderful promises. Reading from verse 25 through verse number 32. The wonderful promise. God will take care of us in the days of shortage if we'll take care of Him, if we'll put Him first. Amen?
Amen.
So it's first my brother, then my gift. It's first the spiritual and then the temporal. Amen. That's more important. The spiritual is more important than the temporal.
Yes. Yes.
And so we're like the lilies of the field. We toil not, neither do spin. They're kind of lily badness. They toil not, neither do spin. Notice with me. I want you to see with me another passage. Seventh chapter. Y'all still in the building? Matthew chapter 7. Notice with me Matthew chapter 7. Here's a verse. He said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how shall thou say to thy brother? He's still dealing with brothers. How shall I say to my brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Notice verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy, cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. So what's he saying? He's saying, first judge yourself, then your brother. So we've got some people who think they're God's special FBI agents. They're always finding fault in somebody else. Amen. And so here's a fellow that's got a little splinter in his eye. And this hypocrite has a telephone pole in his. And so the one with the telephone pole is trying to get that splinter out of that other fellow's eye. He said, first judge yourself. There's some people that wouldn't be pleased if the Apostle Paul was their pastor. They want a preacher that's about 30 years old, that's had 25 years experience.
Amen.
And then they don't like an older preacher because they said, you know that new broom that sweeps clean, that new broom, but the old broom knows where the dirt is. And so first do what? I'm first to be reconciled to my brother. I'm first to be deal with the spiritual, then the temporal. And I'm first to judge myself. You won't ever help anybody else if you have a hypercritical spirit. And if you're not, and by the way, we're eat up with it in our ranks. And so if everybody doesn't do it just like you do it, they're wrong and you're right. Shake your head so I can hear it.
Amen.
You know I'm telling you the truth. It's a matter of that critical spirit, that judgmental spirit. And then if you're not careful, you get to the place to where you want to pass judgment on why people do what they do.
Right.
Well, that's the only reason they did it for. You don't know.
That's right.
Hello.
Amen.
I'm talking about revival. I want to be able to say, for to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
But I can't do it if I've got a type of spiritual critical attitude in everybody. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said this years ago. He said, your attitude determines your blessing. There's some people that's so rotten attitude wise. Attitude. God's interested in your attitude. And so if I were to say, for to me to live is Christ, the Spirit of God smote my heart saying, hey, listen, now, what about that critical spirit? What about that attitude you have toward others?
Amen.
I am for separation. And I believe God is for separation.
Yes, sir.
But don't be too hard on people that come that's never had any training, that's never had any teaching,
right,
because they might not be dressed the way you think's right,
sure,
or the way I think's right.
Sure. Yeah.
But God, the Holy Spirit, is a teacher. And he does that. Here's how he does it. With the Word of God.
Amen.
And when he does it that way, and before I get through tonight, I believe you'll see, when he does it that way, it'll be with the right spirit. God help us. I know that there's some places that they wouldn't have me preach. And I've got a pretty good booking agent. He's called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And there's some places, I don't want to sound wrong, But there's some places I really don't want to preach.
Sure.
Not because I think I'm better than they, Brother Bearden.
Right.
But the standard is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not my opinion or your opinion.
That's right. Sure.
It's the Word of God. And that Word of God never changes. You know that?
Amen.
That Word of God just the same today as it ever was.
Thank God.
And so, first my brother, then my gift.
Amen.
First the spiritual, then the temporal. First judge myself. And then there's several things said about judgment. I don't know if I'll say it all tonight. I'm pretty sure I won't. But I'm going to mention two or three little things about the matter of this matter of judgment. He said, first judge yourself and then others. Now, I want us to note that judging, there is a kind of judging that is not lawful. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And notice with me, if you would please, verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. There's some folks who's hung up on that being a busybody. So and then Romans chapter 2. Notice Romans chapter 2 and verse number 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. It's a pretty serious thing. And in the book of Proverbs chapter 18, I'm noticing Proverbs chapter 18, and we'll look at verse number 13 of Proverbs 18 when I find Proverbs. It hadn't moved on me, I don't think. Proverbs 18. I'm looking at verse number 13. That's what it said. Proverbs 18:13. He said, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. Now, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it is folly and a shame unto him. And so there's some judgments that is unjustly or unfairly. In that seventh chapter, where the Lord's dealing with that man who has the mote in his eye, you visualize that man he's described, and the Lord said, here's a man that has a two before in his eye, comparatively speaking, and he's trying to remove a splinter out of another man's eye. And often the critic who criticizes another is a greater sinner himself than the one who criticizes, whom he criticizes. Y'all still there?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about revival.
Yeah.
We're talking about the matter of being able to say, for to me to live is Christ. Now, notice with me again, there's some judgment that is unmerciful. So we're to be careful that in our own lives and know that our own lives is right with God and right in the sight of others. Before we attempt to be presumptuous enough to place ourselves in the position that only Christ holds as a judge, we need to stop and evaluate the kind of judging that is lawful. And the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, by their fruits ye shall know them. And then Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1, we are to reprove sin. And then in Romans chapter 16 verse 17, the Bible said we're to mark the ones that are causing division. And then we're to withdraw from those. We're to do what? We're to withdraw from those that walk it disorderly. That's in the book of 1 Thessalonians 3, 5 and 6. I've got two other things to say. First things first. First my brother, then my gift. First the spiritual, then the temporal. First judge myself, then others. Now, notice with me the book of Matthew again. 8th chapter, book of Matthew. And let's look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 21 and 22. And here's what the Bible said. He said, another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. And so what's he saying? First, what Christ wants, then what I want. First, what Christ wants. Now, putting others' things first is what we see here. Here's a man that the Lord spoke to about following him. He said, first, let me first go bury the dead. Well, it's undoubtedly this, his loved one's not even dead yet. And so he said, the Lord did not deny the man of showing his love for his family, but he did rebuke the man for putting anything first. First, what Christ wants, then what I want. I can't say for to me to live as Christ if I'm putting other things before Christ. First what Christ wants, then what I want. And from all indications, I said that the man's dad was not yet dead. He was wanting to wait until his father died and then he would follow Jesus. And by the way, don't be too hard on him, because we've got churches full of them, of people who are planning to do something after a while. They're planning to do something when they retire. They're planning to do something when they get this bill paid. No. First things first. Jesus didn't die to play second fiddle to anybody or anything. First things first. What is the first and greatest commandments? We're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what I preached on, the first message I ever preached. Out of the book of Matthew 22. And Luke 14 says, now we're to first count the cost. We're going to be able to retire. We first count the cost first. First what Christ wants. And then what I want. Oh, I want to say for to me to live is Christ. But I've got to deal with my brother. First my brother, then my gift. First the spiritual, then the temporal. First judge myself, then others. And first what Christ wants. And then what I want. Here's the last one, but it's a good one. I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew 23. Matthew 23. I want to see two verses. Matthew 23, verse 25, and verse 26. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excesses. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is the end of cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So here's what I'm saying. First the inside, then the outside. First the inside, then the outside. How about it? How are we doing? I'm saying there's some who actually seek to cover up their wickedness. And by the way, it's not just the vile sinners out yonder in the world. It's those who said, I've been to Calvary, saved by the grace of God. But they don't want the preacher to know. Or they don't want mom and dad to know. Or they don't want the mate to know. But I'm telling you, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. First the inside, then the outside. I am of the opinion that those who argue about the matter of what's modest or what's immodest, if they would first get the inside right, the outside would take care of itself. First things first. And so they offer up long prayers. God called them hypocrites and Pharisees. They make piety a pretense for the evil practices. And we're concerned about what men see. Now, I was foolish. I was young and foolish. Now I'm older and foolish. But I was young and foolish. And I made statements like this. I don't give a rip what people think. I don't care what they think. But listen, I've eaten those words a lot of times. I do care what folks think. I am concerned about how folks think. I want to convey the right spirit and right attitude, right message. I want my life to be pleasing in the sight of God. So it does matter what folks think. And you said, well, no. First the inside, then the outside. First the inside, and then the outside. And so we're more concerned about what men see than what God sees in our lives. And it is this. Notice with me. And I know what folks use. They said, well, you know, God's just interested in the inside. He's interested in the outside too. I can't see the inside. But the outside reflects what's on the inside. Hello? First the inside. Then the outside. Christ first. First things first. There's five of them. First, at least five. First things first. I want to say, for to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. But I've got to deal with these first things. Carefully. Personally. First my brother, then my gift. First the spiritual, then the temporal. First judge myself, then my brother. First things first. First, what Christ wants. Then what I want. You know what the Bible said? I used it yesterday, Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. But there's a companion verse that goes with it in Psalm 84, verse 11, where the Lord said, no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. First things first. First the inside, then the outside. I'll tell you what happened. When we get these first places in the proper priority, proper place, we'll be able to say, for to me to live is Christ. Would you bow with us in prayer? Lord, I love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God. Lord, I sense tonight that you've read some mail. And I pray that He, the Holy Ghost, might press the issue. Help us, Lord, to get our priorities right. And I pray that you might accomplish your purpose. If folks respond outwardly, I'll be pleased. But if they don't, I'll still be pleased. I pray that you would help us, dear Lord, to put Jesus first in our lives. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. This altar's open. Would you be willing to deal with first things tonight? Would you be honest with yourself and get the first things in their proper order? Will you come?